That's the quickest I've ever got up. That's amazing. All right. Well, I'm glad to be here. It's good to be back in the Socialist Republic of Maryland. I used to tell people when we left here and went south, I would tell people down south that if you come here to Maryland, to this area, D.C. area, to visit, you get a motel room. They have a deal here where you can actually call from your room down to the desk, and they'll send somebody up to mug you in your room so you don't have to go out to get mugged, which is a good idea. Now, I've seen signs of danger and signs of problems, you know, different things you see and problems, and you know it's not the safest area in the world, but I've never seen a church until I came here today that ever had to put their name on their toilet plunger so it wouldn't get stolen. You go in there and look at the toilet plunger, it says Bethel Baptist Church. And so that way nobody can use it. Okay. Well, we're glad to be here, Miss Bro and I. We love you guys. Your preacher's been my dear friend ever since he came here. And he's just been very, very kind to me. Of course, I was here for a long time. And tried to preach and help the church until preacher came, and he came and was able after I got done to put it all back together again and make it work again. So at any rate, but Bowie's good to see you guys. Well, I'm telling you, Mrs. Bowie, you don't look a day older. Brother Bowie, let's go on. I want you to take your Bible if you will this morning, and. Now, preacher, they said I can leave the pulpit when I'm preaching. Okay, all right.
Just don't leave the room.
Excuse me?
Don't leave the room.
Okay, I'll try to stay in the room. By the way, I already feel very insignificant here this morning. I'll tell you why. I was coming, getting ready to go down steps to go down to the car for something, and there were a couple of young ladies down there, and one of them got on the banister and slid all the way down the banister to the bottom floor. And I thought, if that's how you have to leave here, I'm here forever, right? You know? There is no way I'm going to be able to leave that way. But they let me go down the steps, so that was good. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. The book of Acts and chapter number 2. And I want to talk to you for a while. I don't know if I'll get all of this in or not, but I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject, 5 things you can do to help God send revival to your church. 5 things that you can do to help God send revival to your church. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me as I begin reading. It's chapter 2 in the book of Acts, beginning of verse 41. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to ask somebody if they'll grab, Ms. Burrow has a bottle of water. If I could get that, that'll help me. I used to go to churches and I'd preach, and the pastor would say, now, do you need water? Because he always used water, and he'd say, do you need water? And I'd say, no, I'm a man. I don't have to have water. Now I'm an old man, so I have to have a little bit of water. Okay, beginning verse 41, the Bible says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And let's pray. Now, Father, I want to thank you today for the privilege of being in your house. I want to thank you for the honor that you've given me to be able to preach from behind this pulpit. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. I pray you'll visit every pew. I pray you'll speak to every heart, including mine. And I pray, dear God, that you do a work of grace in each one of our hearts. Help us to make decisions that would be for God and for good. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. If ever they were having a revival, they were having one in Acts chapter number 2. And in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, God shows us some of the things that if God sends a Holy Ghost revival, He says, here's what it's going to look like. Now, here's what He says. He said in these verses that thousands of people were being saved. They were all getting baptized. Now, if you study this, the Bible says they that gladly received His word were baptized, all of them. And nobody had to push them into the baptistry. The Bible says they were getting baptized. The church was growing like wildfire. God's people were excited. Christians were all getting along. There's a good one, isn't it? All the Christians were getting along with each other. They were all obeying the Bible. They were praying together. They were praising God. And the Bible says God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, let me just say this, because I've got a lot to say, but let me just throw this in. If we're going to see revival, if we're going to see the kind of results that they had in the early church, God has got to do it.
Amen.
But God won't do it unless we do our part, and He's told us what we're supposed to do. Now, I want you to notice that the key to this revival, and God gave them revival because, and here's the key, they were excited about the things of God.
Yes.
Folks, let me tell you something. We serve God. We play our instruments. We teach our Sunday school class. We drive our bus route, whatever it is. We serve God, but are we excited about serving God? That was the key to this whole thing. They were excited about serving God. So keeping that in mind, I'm going to give you five things real quickly. If you're going to help your church get a revival, have a revival, number one, you're going to have to get excited, first off, about your salvation.
Amen.
You're going to have to get excited over the fact that God has saved you. I want you to look at verse 41. And I maybe more than other preachers, when I get into a scripture, I mean, every word is important, and sometimes we don't look close enough. So I maybe don't use as much scripture as somebody else would use, but I spend a whole lot of time trying to explain what that scripture means. In verse 41, let me get over here. In verse 41, here's what the scripture says. Then they that gladly received His word. Now let's stop there. Then they that how? They gladly received His word. These people who got saved were excited about being saved. I'm not talking about being excited about your Christian life, because there's a lot of things involved in your Christian life. There's getting baptized. There's joining a church. There's being faithful to God's house. There's tithing. There are numerous things that have to do with the Christian life. But before we're ever going to see revival, we've got to get excited over the fact that we've been saved. We're born again.
Amen.
We're on our way, the Bible says, to heaven. Did you know that nobody wants what you've got if you're not happy with what you got?
Yes, yes.
Nobody. So a fellow said this one time. Preacher was trying to lead him to the Lord. And the preacher pretty much had him convinced, you know, to trust Christ as Savior. And right in the middle of all of it, the fellow looked at the preacher and he said, you know what, preacher? He said, I would get saved. I would become a Christian if it weren't for Christians. And I thought, what a sad commentary. We ought to be excited. We ought to be happy. We ought to be on fire. Hey, listen, we're going to heaven when we die. Heaven, folk, I got some news for you. Heaven is a real place. Something's going on there right now. We have loved ones there. Jesus is there. We need to get excited about the fact that we are saved. I was in, and again, I may not get all this done, but I'm going to go as far as I can. I was in. When we first started in evangelism, Ms. Burwell and I, it's a team effort. We're one in the Lord. She writes the sermons. I preach the sermons. We work together. I was in a little place called Beaver, West Virginia. And I mean, no joke, when we were heading for the church, and the road was just like that, just a little thin, narrow road, and it was going crazy. Beaver, West Virginia, up in the mountains. And there was a little white church right, I mean, almost against the road. There was like, from me to you, Brother Weaver, from me to you, and then the church was here, and that's the highway. I say it's a small way is what it was. But we went to Beaver, West Virginia. They had about 40 people, maybe 45 people. And I was preaching there. They were without a pastor. And so I was preaching there, trying to help them find a pastor. And there was a fellow who was educably slow. And I don't say that in, I'm not criticizing or trying to say, but at any rate, he was educably slow and had a sister, and she was educably slow, even worse. And his name was Eddie. And Eddie was the most humble guy you'd ever want to meet. And Eddie wouldn't talk to you unless you talked to him. If you talked to him, he talked back. You had to kind of drag it out of him. He was not a very exciting person, talking about being excited about being saved. Now, the thing that I didn't know when I went there to preach was that there was something that got Eddie excited. And that was, if you started talking about being saved and the blood of Jesus washing your sins away, he would get excited. And I'll never forget, because I'm just starting in evangelism. I didn't know what to expect. And Eddie was sitting right there, quiet as he always was, not saying anything, no real emotion. And I said something about the blood of Jesus and how that our sins are all washed away and we're saved. And buddy, something happened to Eddie. He got excited. He was sitting here. Now, let me tell you, I've preached. I've heard everything. I've heard him say, amen, hallelujah, praise God, park there a while, preacher. You've heard it all. We've heard all. I never heard what I heard that morning in that church. Eddie was sitting here, and I said something about being saved. And when I did, he jumped straight up out of his seat and said, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, and started spinning around in the auditorium. And now listen, you say, isn't that irreverent in the church? Not as irreverent, sitting there like a bumble log, never saying anything for God. Amen. And so he was excited about that. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to figure out how to handle him for the rest of the services. Turns out I didn't handle him. He handled me. It wasn't long before I was hollering, hot dog, hot dog. Hey, listen, we need to get excited about the fact we're saved. And until we do, we'll never see revival in the church. Got to get excited about that. Greatest thing that's ever happened, you have been saved. Then let me give you a second thing. Number two, if you want to see revival in your church, here's how you can help God give a revival. Get excited about obeying God. Get excited about obeying God. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 41, the second part there. I'll read it all. It says, they that gladly received his word, got saved, were what? You tell me. Were baptized. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me they were ready to obey the word of God. They didn't know anything. They heard the gospel. They gladly received the word. They got saved. They were excited. And the next thing somebody told them was, the next thing you do is get baptized. Somebody said this to me one time, preacher. They said, the next thing you do after you get saved is get baptized, unless you meet somebody on the way to the baptistry and needs to get saved. You talk to him. But they got baptized. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that they were ready to obey God's commands. Obeying God's first command, getting baptized, signified that they were ready to obey all of God's commands. They were saying, we're excited about get baptized. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're excited. Let's do it. They didn't even know how to get baptized until they began to deal with it. But they were excited because they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. They were excited about going to church. They were excited about tithing because that's all God's command, and they wanted to follow the Lord and obey Him. They were excited about prayer. They were excited about soul winning. They were excited about Sunday school. Wasn't a Sunday school back then, but if there was, they'd have been excited about it. They were excited about forsaking sin, serving God, and obeying God's rules. They were ready and willing and excited about serving the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We'll never see revival in our church until we get excited about what we're doing. Excited about preaching, if you're preaching. Excited about Sunday school, if you're teaching Sunday school. Excited about a bus route, if that's what you've got. Let me just tell you this. I believe God wants us, if we're clean to commode, God wants us to be excited about it. Amen? especially if we can use a plunger that's got our name on it. I'm telling you for sure. But God wants us to be excited about it. You know why? It's not the job. It's not whether it's cleaning the church, cleaning the bathrooms, or preaching the message. It's about the fact that what we're doing for God. And that's what we ought to be excited about. So number one, get excited about your salvation. Number two, get excited about obeying God. Then number three, they were excited about winning souls. Now, preacher, I'm going to confess a sin right now. When I first got saved, I was more excited than I ever have been in my life about winning souls. I can remember going out one day to a Heinz store. I don't know if you have Heinz anymore, but it was an ice cream store, dairy store. Going to a Heinz store when I'd just been saved for maybe 6 months and winning. We won, my partner and I stayed there as teenagers would come in. We won 14 teenagers of Christ. I was excited about winning souls. I'm not as excited right now as I need to be about, well, I'm just committing my sin. But I'll tell you what, I want to be. I'm going to preach a message one of these days on I want to want to. I want to want to. But I want to win people. I've won several this past couple of weeks to the Lord in Lowe's parking lot and in a motel room, a motel hotel, the behind the desk, won a number of people to Christ, but not like I want to and need to. All of us need to get, and you know why we don't? We're not excited about it. We don't have the reality born inside of us, understanding that if we can lead somebody to the Lord, and I'm not talking about pushing somebody in. I'm not talking about say a prayer and you're saved. I'm talking about helping them to understand what's going on and helping them to make a decision. Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I will trust Christ. I'm talking about that. We need to get excited about that. You know why? Because that is the number one thing Jesus was excited about when he was here on this earth. Most important thing to the Lord is winning people to Christ. And so they got excited about winning souls to the Lord. We had a guy in our church. Every church has one. He's living half on the earth and half somewhere in outer space. And he's the kind of guy that'll come up to you and he'll go, well, preacher, he'll walk up to you and he'll say, yeah, you know, when I was there, I didn't know what to do, so I tell you what. And you're wondering, what in the world is this man talking about? Because he starts in the middle. Well, one thing I could say about this guy, his name was Bill. I won't give you his last name because he's still alive and I don't want to go to jail. But his name was Bill. And he was the number one guy in our church. He was half here and half there. But he loved to tell people about Jesus. He just wanted to. And amazing to me, did you ever know a guy that is so smart, you can't comprehend how you could ever be as smart as he is, but he can't tie a shoe? You know what I'm talking about? That kind. But he could take the Bible and the Old Testament and take a Jew and lead a Jew to Christ. He was just really, I mean, he was just loved to win people to the Lord. Well, Bill went out to find work. He was one of the preacher boys. We brought him from Hiles Anderson to our place. And he stayed with us for a long time. But he had to find a job. He was living, I think, in a staff house maybe, and had to find a job. So he went out and found a job. He found a job where you stand in the road and you have the sign. You twist it and says, slow. And then when it's time for you to stop, he stopped. You know, it takes a lot of college to do this. And so he's got this sign. Now they gave him a hard hat, big yellow hard hat, and a yellow flag. Well, Bill went to work, and he did good, and he was able to make a living and all. But I got a phone call one day from one of our members, and they said, preacher, do you know what's going on at the church? We're a whole country church, over here in Clinton. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, did you know that Brother Bill is standing out in front of the church in the road with his hard hat on and his flag, and when a car comes, he's waving them down, stopping the car, going over and giving them a tract and trying to witness to them. And then if they get saved, he keeps them every while. If they won't get saved, he says, okay, go on. And then he lets them go, and then he waits for the next one. Now you say, how dumb, you know, it's the kind of guy that you don't want anybody to know he goes to your church, you know. But blessed be God, how exciting that he was so excited about winning people to Christ, that he was willing to get out there and do that. I tell you, to me, that is an amazing thing. But we're not going to get, what's revival all about? Revival doesn't necessarily have to do with making you a better Christian. It has to do with getting you to the place to where you can serve God, win people to Christ, get people saved. So they get excited about soul winning. They were excited about their salvation. They were excited about obeying God, and they were excited about soul winning. Then number four. I only have two more. I think I'm going to make it. Number four, get excited about being in church. Get excited about being in church. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 41, the third part there in verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Now watch this. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The same day, 3,000 people were added to the church. Now, we need to get excited about winning souls, and we need to get excited about being in church. I want you to look at verse number 46, if you will. And verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. In the temple. To me, that's talking about, for us, the church house. They were excited about being in church. And the Bible says daily in the temple. You know, every once in a while, somebody will come to me and they'll say, preacher, do we have to be in church every time the doors are open? And my answer is this. That's a bad question, first off. Because anytime you say about anything that has to do with God's work, do we have to? That's a bad question. Do we have to be? And I tell them, I say, listen, you ought to jump up and down and praise the Lord and thank God you didn't live back in. You'd have to be in Sunday school, Monday school, Tuesday school, daily in the temple and from house to house. They were going from house to house every day. They were in the temple every day serving the Lord. We've got to get excited about being in church. Now, let me say this. I've got a couple things here I want to say. Church needs to be a happy place. I really believe that. All right? Church needs to be a place where you can come and hear the Word of God. So somebody says, well, you hear the preaching, that makes you miserable. No, it ought to make you happy. Get right with God, it makes you happy. Hear the Word of God. We can fellowship with each other. We can slide down the rails there if we want to. We can have a good time. Everything ought to revolve around the church. I preached that one time. I said that everything should revolve around the church. And a fellow came to me after the service. And he said, Brother Burwell, I appreciate you. I like your preaching. But he said, I have to differ with you. He said, the church is not the most important thing. He said, the family is the most important thing. Everything needs to revolve around the family. The family was ordained of God before the church was. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, sir? You're exactly right, but you're leaving one thing out. And I'll tell you what it is. Yes, the family is the most important thing, but when God created the family, he decided that the best thing that family can do, the best thing dad can do, mom can do, the kids can do, is wrap their lives around the church. If you love the family so much, if it's so important, then get it in a place where it will be lifted up and not out in a world where it'll be destroyed. So yeah, you're supposed to be in church every time the doors are open. I don't apologize for that. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we're supposed to be in the house of God. And it ought to be a place where you can have fun. I've been waiting a long time to get to say this. It ought to be a place where you can hear Louis Armstrong sing, What a Wonderful World. You see, you got to watch what you do, because I watch your live stream, okay? It's got to be, it ought to be a place where we have fun, where we enjoy life, where we're a place we want to, you know why we don't want to go to church? Because there's no fun. But it ought to be. I remember, and by the way, do you know this? Do you know that when you joke with a preacher, I hope I'm not saying something wrong here, but when you tease with a preacher, you know, let's use me for an example. My people tease me all the time. You know why? They love me. In fact, I wish they wouldn't love me as much as they love me. They tease me all the time. My preacher friends tease me. You know why? And I tease people in the church. Why? Because we're supposed to be a happy family serving God, enjoying each other. I asked a preacher to come and preach for me. Now, the guy in the PA booth, you may want to put something in your ears for this next few things here. When I pastored, I believe you ought to be clean shaven. That was me. I'm sorry, but that was just me, okay? You can say, well, yeah, he's an old man, doesn't know what he's doing. And so in order to be on the platform, in order to do it, you had to be clean shaven. And my people knew that was what I believed. Now, I'm not against beards. Have all the beards you want. In fact, some of you would do good if you did grow a beard, cover up a little bit of your face. But that was just me, okay? So I was off a little bit, but that was me. One day, there was a preacher, and he was a great man of God. But he had a mustache. But I wanted our people to hear him because I knew he could be a blessing to them. So I had never done this before, but I had him come on the platform to preach a service to our people. He's still pastoring right now. I got up and I told the people, I said, I know what you're thinking. I understand what you're thinking. And I know what I've told you. But I said, this guy is so great a man of God. I want you to hear him. I said, now, I don't condone his mustache, but I want you to hear him. And he came up, and by the way, I'm talking about, we can talk with each other like that if we love each other. So he came to the pulpit, and I'll never forget this. It cured me of a lot of things. He came to the pulpit, and he said, I understand, folk, your pastor doesn't believe in mustaches. He said, I understand that. And he said, I want you to know, neither would I if I wasn't man enough to grow one. It wasn't that funny, Brother Sutton. Listen, we need to get excited. We need to have good time in church. We need to get excited about the things of God. Now, where am I time-wise? I'm okay? Oh, I've just got one more. We'll have time to go to McDonald's here. I'm done. Listen, we ought to be involved in, here's what it ought to be. When I was a little boy, by the way, you have to clarify now, Brother Weaver, I've always been a boy, okay? I want you to know that. When I was a small child, I just had one brother. My brother and I, we lived in a little two-room shack with an outhouse and a phone book. And we would, my parents had a little, just a little two-room shack. My dad built it out of old lumber. It was just a shack. We had a TV. It had a picture screen that big on it. And my brother and I, confessing sin again, we would wait till my parents fell asleep about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And then we'd sneak in there and turn it on real low, and we used to watch the zombies. Has anybody ever, do you know what a zombie is? It's like you when you first get up, brother. We would watch the zombies. My brother and I, and here the zombies would be like this. They had no will of their own. They couldn't keep themselves. And I used to think, that's what it ought to be like going to church. It ought to be automatic. You should never go to the foot of the steps and holler upstairs and say, honey, are we going to church this morning? It'll already be settled. Amen. Church Sunday morning, church in Sunday school, church Sunday night. There's a word I love. It's called mesmerized. I like that word because we're mesmerized. It's church. We're going to church. Miss Burwell said to me, can you run down the store and get me something? That's been years ago. I said, sure. I got in my car. Now, when I get in my car, I don't just drive. When I get in my car, I lead the choir. I sing specials. I hit my dashboard and preach. And sometimes I pay attention to my driving. I'm going down the road. My mind's everywhere. I'm going to go to the store to get her something. And I pulled in the parking lot, stopped, cut the car off, looked up, and there was the church building. I had forgot. I ended up, and I thought to myself, you know why? That's where I go all the time. I just automatically go to the church building. It ought to be mesmerized. Miss Burwell and I are in the car. It's been several years ago. We're going down the road. Mrs. Burwell, man, are you ready for this? Oh, look, he did put earmuffs or something on back there. You can take them off now. We're going down the road, and Mrs. Burwell, I'm sure you fellas have never had this happen, is telling me how to drive. And it's not just, you know, we have to turn right up here in a little ways. It's not that. It's, watch out, it's red. No, red. Oh, no, go ahead, it turned green. Turn left here. Watch out. Look out for that car. She's telling me how to drive. Now, all of us can get irritated after a while. And so she's telling me how to drive and stop here and go there and whatever. So as kindly as I could, I looked at her and I said, "Shut up!" Now, I want to tell you what happened. The atmosphere in that car was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Nobody was talking to anybody, and you can feel the heat around your face. You know, you can just, something's going on. You know, brother, we were talking about. So now we're in the car. Nobody's talking to each other. All fellowship has been broken. And I'm driving, and I get behind a stupid dump truck on a road where two cars couldn't pass. And he's going 20 miles an hour. And I'm watching. And it's hard. You know, I want to get home, get away. You know, I want to get away. And you can only count those little squares on the back of the thing so many times. You know, you look at the tread, say, hey, this tread is a little different than this tread. And don't push. You read that a dozen times. And it seemed like an hour. It was probably only 5 minutes, but it seemed like an hour. I'm behind this truck. I'm talking about being mesmerized. Behind this truck, finally, he turned off on a dirt road, went down to the gravel pit. Guess who followed him to the gravel pit? God was there, he knows. God knows I'm telling the truth. The truck turned, I turned. And we got down to the gravel pit, and there was bulldozers and front-end loaders, trucks being loaded. And I realized, you know, because I'm under a lot of tension right now. There's a lot of pressure in this car. Miss Burwell hadn't said a word to me. And then she just looked over and said, because she's been debating whether I know how to drive or what I'm doing. She just looked over and she said, "What you reckon we're going to do here?" You know, we ought to be mesmerized when it comes to church. That ought to already be set. That's on the calendar. That doesn't change. We're in the house of God. They were excited to be in church. And then let me give you a last thing, number 5, and that's this. They were excited about praising God. They were excited about praising God. Look at verse number, look at verse number 46. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God." Now, I want to preface by saying this. You ought to be ready always to praise the Lord for what He's done. But, and here's the big but, and I believe this all through my Bible, I believe this totally. You ought to be ready to praise God every chance you get, but you ought to praise God the way your pastor says it's appropriate to praise the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. there's a lot of wildfire out there. There's a lot of charismatic kind of junk. It's just all emotional, waving your hand. I know of a Baptist church where a great preacher, Brother Hiles, I thought was a great preacher, Brother Hiles went to preach for one of his preacher boys. They had a huge church, had 200-300 people. And that Baptist preacher, with all of his training, decided to go a little bit charismatic, not so much in doctrine, but in, I guess, in emotion or whatever. He had the ceiling tiles down the center of the auditorium taken out. He took the ceiling tiles out there and the ceiling tiles across here and made a cross. And took Christmas lights that you put on a Christmas tree and had them all over that glass. And on Wednesday nights, they'd open in prayer, sing a song, and then the next thing they would do is all the lights in the auditorium would be turned off and just the lights, those Christmas lights over that cross. And he encourages people to hold their hands toward heaven and just wave at God and pray. And thought, let me just tell you something. That is a bunch of junk. That is not biblical. That is not God. It's emotion. And I'm going to tell you something. We ought to praise the Lord, but we ought to praise the Lord like the old-time Baptists praise God. We ought to praise God for what He's done for us, what He's doing for us, how much He loves us, the fact we're saved, we're going to heaven when we die. There's a right reason and a right way to praise the Lord. Now, I'm closed with this. Do I have enough time to close? Okay, because I closed two or three times now. So I'm going to try it. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know what? I never have a problem taking off on a message. My problem is trying to find a landing place. but at any rate, at our church, now you do what he says. Our church, when I pastored, I personally don't think ladies should usurp authority over men. And when you draw attention to yourself, a lady does in the church, she's attracting attention. I think she's usurping authority. So I used to teach our ladies, if you agree with the preacher said, because women are human too, you might not believe that, but they are. So when a lady, she feels the same thing. She feels that's right, that's true. And I used to teach our ladies, if you agree with what the preacher, what I'm preaching, agree with what the preacher said, you get excited. I said, just shake your head. Yes, shake your head. Our men, they shout, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, whatever. But I taught our ladies, shake. Well, one lady came to me and she said, preacher, it's just not enough for me just to nod my head. Sometimes I'm excited. What can I do? I made the mistake of my life. I said, if you get excited again and shaking your head's not enough, then just get your hanky out and wave your hanky. Now, every church has a woman like this. I don't know which one of you it is. She went home. She went to the store and bought 100 handkerchiefs and embroidered on them, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, on the different handkerchiefs, gave them to all of our ladies. I preached that Sunday morning after she gave them those handkerchiefs, and I said something, I don't know what, but man, they got those handkerchiefs. It looked like a snowstorm the rest of the service. So I told one of the ladies, I said, you know, this isn't going to work either, I don't think. I said, you start waving those handkerchiefs, we can't even see our men. So this lady said, well, what do we do, preacher? And I came up with a solution, and I'll close with this. I came up with a solution. How you can be scriptural? Here it is. She said, I get so excited, I just want to shout. I said, here's what I want you to do. The next time you get so excited about something that we say or preach or whatever, and you want to shout, I said, I want you to take your hand and smack your husband upside the head as hard as you can. I said, when you do, he's going to shout. And you just say, that's for me. You know what? We're never going to have revival till we get excited about the things of God. Father, thank you for our time together. And I do pray that you'd bless the folk. I thank you for the Word of God. Every time we preach the Word of God, it's new, it's refreshing, it excites our hearts. And Father, I do pray. We know that you want us to have revival in our lives, in our church, in our nation. I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord. And I pray that you'd help Christians, because it's got to start with us. And you said, of my people, which are called by my name. And so I pray you'd help us to get excited. Now, Lord, I'm sure there are people in this room serve you, maybe drive a van or something, maybe clean the church, maybe teach a Sunday school class, whatever. But Father, we need to be excited about what we do, and I pray you'd help us to do that in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.